Welcome back to Be Fit with Brian Pruitt. I'm your host, Brian, and this podcast is all about getting and staying fit for life, physically, mentally, and spiritually. Today, I have an incredible guest. He is an all-around awesome human being, a fellow believer, a husband, and a father of two. He's also a doctor of physical therapy and the founder of Flow Life Fitness. My man Colin Pask and I connected on Instagram probably a year ago, maybe less, but a year ago. We kind of chatted and connected, and he actually flew down with his family, his lovely wife and two kids, and they spent a month in Sarasota. So we connected, brought him to the studio, did some workouts together. He's a kettlebell king, an icon, a light in the world. And I just want to tell you one thing. Buckle up, because this episode is jam-packed with wisdom, with insights, and with just key principles to living the abundant life. And so, without further ado, Colin Pask. Set up. Okay, man. Thanks, bro. What'd we just do, man? How's how you feeling after the workout, cold plunge combination at the studio? First off, what do you think about the studio?
Dude, the studio's great. This place is awesome. Second time here, so I mean, still relatively new, and it's everything that I thought it'd be. Pretty fun.
What would you add to it?
Add to it,
yeah,
dude.
Because we're in Florida.
Maybe more kettlebells.
This guy is the kettlebell king. but yeah, that 100% true. We only have four kettlebells, and two of them are pretty light. And I was gonna say though, we're in Florida. Like, I think I always want to have a sauna. But like, dude, in the summer, you just step outside.
Yeah,
you know, it's so bad. But yeah, we're trying to figure out what we're gonna add to it. But it's been great. And so you've been down here for a few weeks, and you're thinking about maybe moving.
Possibly. Yeah, yeah. No, my wife and I and the kids were down here and here for the whole month. So yeah, we've loved it.
The best.
It's unbelievable.
So for those listening, like Colin and I are basically brothers. Like you, me, Josh. At the studio or at the beach or whatever, we've already hung out like three or four different times elsewhere. And I'm like, I told my wife this. I'm like, dude, Colin is literally like my brother. Like, I feel like we're on the same page with everything, which is why I'm stoked we're having a conversation. Because between family, faith, fitness, we're both entrepreneurs. Like, you know, you look better in Roan shirts than me, but that's, you know, we're gonna let that pass. But seriously, we have so much alignment there. So, anyway, how did you get to? For people who don't know you, like, how did you go from this, you know, gifted kid? You were gonna get into engineering, and then you got into fitness, right? So please bridge the gap right there.
Basically, yeah. No, first off, thanks, man, and dude, it's been awesome. You guys have been super hospitable. My wife and I, we live in Oklahoma right now, and you guys have literally made this feel like home. So,
love
just everyone here is awesome. Yeah, love the Florida people already. Feel like we already got a lot of family out here. Which is
your
great.
Instagram handle is Flow Life.
Yeah,
that's literally like that's meant to be. You're meant to be headquartered here,
dude. I'm telling you. But no, yeah. To answer your question, I grew up my whole life. Like, my father was in medicine. I wanted to go to med school, and so not engineering, but it basically was that, right? Like, went to, you know, undergrad, did biochemistry in college. And
biochemistry. That's what I was thinking.
It was basically close enough.
That shows you like close that shows enough. You my level of understanding that. Yeah, engineer. Yeah, he's gonna be an engineer.
No, dude. No, it was basically like that though. Like, definitely something I was you know, I appreciate it. Like, it taught me a lot of good disciplines and stuff. But when I got out of school, took a year off, you know, was gonna apply to med school and decided that was not the path I wanted to go after. Mm-hmm. Just working in the hospital system for a year. You know, and basically, you know, pivoted, changed paths, and then
was that a hard decision?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So a lot of like reflection and intention.
Well, yeah, I mean, dude, I think I made that decision. You know, I feel like you don't just wake up and you're like, I want to go to med school, right? Like, it takes years of thinking about that before you make that commitment. Mm-hmm. And it starts early in high school, right? Like, you got to make good grades to go to a good college to, you know, then hopefully get accepted to med school. So it's like, I think it was like eighth, ninth grade. I was like, I'm going to go become a doctor, you know? Hmm. And so, yeah, I mean, it was like this, you know, 8, 9, 10 year process of be trying to become this thing, and then having to deconstruct that and go, okay, wait, what do I want to do now? And that's when I kind of pivoted and applied to physical therapy school.
Yeah.
Went to PT school, loved it. Yeah. Graduated almost a year ago to the day.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. And been out for a year now. And
congrats on that.
Yeah, I appreciate that. But I got into fitness during PT school. I started working.
And you had ran track though in high school, college.
For sure.
Yeah. So you were an athlete from the
young age. For sure. I always wanted to do like sports medicine. And so, man, while I was in I think it was the month before I started physical therapy school, I got a job as a fitness coach.
Yeah.
Like literally
at a gym or
at a local gym.
Yeah, cool.
It's Solid Rock Training. Shout out to Solid Rock Training in Norman, Oklahoma.
Let's go Solid Rock.
Dude, hey,
great.
Awesome.
Name.
It literally, Christian people, the Lord. They're the best, salt of the earth, and taught me everything, like so much of the knowledge that helped me like become a fitness coach and also grow my business. And so Derek and Bob were the two founders and took me under their wing. But in the process of coaching there and going to school at the same time, pulling a lot of late nights at the gym. Right, like coaching clients and stuff, and then COVID hit, right? 2020, we all remember that, March of 2020, April of 2020, found out my wife was pregnant and go, oh dang.
Wow.
I need to find another way to make money that's not going to keep me at the gym till 9 p.m. at night. So I started building out the website that day for Flow Life. Yeah,
crazy. And your website's so clean. By the way, I told you about that off in a conversation. I'm like, dude, this guy's back end stuff and his website, which we appreciate. I mean, myself and Josh specifically, just being like creators that, you know, want to make things aesthetic and all that. So, yeah, heck yeah. Was it hard for you? I have a couple of questions in regards to what you just said. Was it hard for you to make that change? Like, did you feel the shift from, okay, I've been trying to be someone or follow a path because this is kind of what my parents would expect, but I feel like a tug in a different direction. Was that hard for you?
Absolutely.
So what was the biggest, what helped you make that change and just stick to it and be like, this is what I want?
Dude, man, I think at the time I was trying to also really look at like what are like the gifts and the things that I'm naturally good at, not like trying to push myself into a box of like, you know, something that I've dreamt up of myself becoming or like, you know, someone else, like my parents or like the, even my coaches and my teachers growing up, like they all knew what I wanted to do. Right. So they all talked to me about it. Like when I decided to take that turn away from that career path, I was now, you know, kind of looking at all those people going like, you know, I felt like I was failing, right? Like I was kind of like, hey, I failed at basically going after this thing that you guys thought I was going to become.
Right.
And now I have to shift, you know, my entire, life around really to approach life differently and look at life differently and utilize honestly, like the things that I feel like I'm naturally good at. And that didn't come easy. Like, I think that I was, you know, for the longest time, just had my head down. I was working, trying to make good grades, you know, things like that. All noble things and good things. And like I said earlier, learned a lot of good disciplines from it. Right. And, but I think when I really stepped back and looked, it's like, dude, I love people. I love working with people. I love fitness and health and becoming, you know, using that as a vehicle for becoming a healthier version of, you know, whoever you are.
Yeah.
And I had experienced it as an athlete. And then when I got out of college and no longer had my identity as an athlete, I then had to kind of shift and go, how am I going to stay fit? Like, I'm married, right?
Yeah.
I want to be fit for my wife, look good for my wife, all that stuff. And then when we got pregnant with our first child, like, I was like, dude, I'm going to have this, you know, daughter or son looking up to me as an example now. So it's like, each stage of life give you these new like bridges that you have to cross where you achieve and find new meaning in what you're doing. And health and fitness like is honestly like the centerpiece along with my faith of like so many of those transitions.
Yeah.
I've had to learn how to integrate it in every single season of life that I've had, whether it's been a busy season or a calm season. Yep. And every single time it's the bedrock, dude. It's the foundation for who I become when I wake up in the morning every day.
Yeah. So that fires me up, bro. I mean, it really, like, I love that idea of health being the first true wealth. Like, when you're not healthy, everything becomes secondary, truly. Like, I had a conversation with Josh's wife yesterday, like, mental health, when you're not mentally, like, taking care of yourself, like really the number one priority is just trying to get mentally right. And so I think health and especially fitness is in the very same category. You have to take care of your health. And so I love that, dude. So you got two beautiful children, beautiful wife, amazing people. Like I don't know them as well as I know you, obviously, because I haven't been around them longer. But what's that been like to, I guess, try to balance all that? Like how do you balance the work and the family with your own personal life? Because I'm a new dad too. And I sense that it's like, this is a season of things don't look exactly the way they used to. But I know from experience, like if I'm not showing up for myself discipline wise and doing the same things I coach clients with, I'm not going to be happy or successful. So, you know, like, I guess how's that been for you? What's the key to your balance? Like if this is right, yes. That's kind of a loaded question.
Yeah, no, I love it, man.
But if this one thing is right, then like everything else kind of flows from that, maybe.
Dude, make time for yourself. My father and my mom, honestly, both of them, and honest, I feel lucky, like, to say this, that, dude, they've always taken care of themselves. Mm-hmm. So early, like, as far as I can remember, they beat us out of bed. Right. So my dad was like a 4 a.m. guy, right? Yeah. Up. Yeah. Had, you know, gone
Mark,
for a
that
run.
That Mark Wahlberg yeah,
dude,
level.
My dad, he is literally a quiet version of Mark Wahlberg. Mm. Like he's been that way since I was born. Like, wow. As far as, you know, I've ever, you know, had memories of that man, like he's always done that. So I had him, and then my mom was not too far behind him, 5:30, 6 a.m. Wow. She was hitting the pavement going for a run. So
wow.
I had these two human beings doing this from a young age, and I started to connect the dots like around like 9th, 10th grade in high school of like, oh, they wake up early to make time for themselves.
Wow.
They're not waking up to that alarm. And
something just flew in the room. I'm not sure if we lost the camera or what happened, but that was good.
Drew's over there probably.
Probably.
No, but they made that margin for themselves and created that time for themselves. And so I picked that up from them at a young age, and over the course of the last, you know, 15 years have essentially done the same thing. But
so good.
You know, just started setting my alarm 20 minutes earlier, mm-hmm. 30 minutes earlier, mm-hmm. 40 minutes earlier.
Yeah.
And now it's like I'm up hours, 3 hours before my wife and kid get up. You
I
know?
Love that.
And my wife does the same thing, right? Like she tries to beat the kids out of bed as well. Mm-hmm. But it's one of those things, particularly as a busy young dad, husband, entrepreneur, business owner, coach,
yeah.
You know, like all these things, you have all these hats you're going to wear during the day.
Right.
Dude, get up in the morning, spend time on yourself, mm-hmm. because, you know, when you put all those hats on throughout the rest of the day, like you're going to be the best version of yourself if you start prioritizing your faith and your health in the morning, like right when you get out of bed. And I wake up really, really early to answer your question.
I freaking love that. So what's the typical morning time?
Dude, 4 to 4:30.
I love that, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. I try and get like 6 hours a night.
What about Florida? Like now?
Yeah.
You still waking up in Florida on vacation?
Florida's been, I've been getting up like 5.
Florida's been a little bit more fluid.
A little more laid back.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've been more like 5:30 this trip. But
now,
I think,
did you do that when you first had your first child? Did you still do that?
When we had like my son, right? Like, yeah, I was more like 5 a.m. Yeah. And then when we had my daughter, I went through this string of like being stressed right when she was first born, because I was trying to build my business. I was trying to grow the brand.
Yes, yes.
I was trying to do all these things.
Yeah.
But I was waking up like 5:30, right? Because we have a newborn. Uh-huh. She's waking up throughout the night. You're 100%. Not, you're just not sleeping.
Yeah.
But I hit this point like 2 months in. I was like, I am not getting the time I need to execute on the things I need to, right? And I'm talking about even like for myself, like getting up, drinking water, right? You know, diving into the word, spending some quiet time journaling. Mm-hmm. Like those are the big three things I do right when I get up in the morning. And so it's like even those things, like hitting those right when I get up, it's like do or die for me.
Essential.
And so when my daughter was like 2 months old, I was like, I'm getting up at 4:15. And my alarm stayed that way. I slept until 6 on Sundays.
Yeah.
Every other day is 4:15.
I freaking love that, by the way. Seriously, you've inspired me to get back to that. My daughter is almost 3. And I remember vividly, I mean, she was a NICU baby. Were any of your babies early?
Yeah, both of them were 2.5 to 3 weeks early. Okay. Yeah. Didn't have to do the NICU, but yeah.
But the NICU, just that process was unique because there was pros to it. Like there was pros and cons. It taught us in a lot of ways how to be parents to a child and like learn the routines. I'm actually amazed that people have kids and they go home like the day after. Or if you're doing home births, more power to you because you're just there in it. Yeah. But like, it's actually incredible how they're just like, well, good luck.
Yeah.
And see ya, yeah, out the door. Yeah. So we actually got to learn. But the cons was, you know, we're back and forth. We were at the hospital for 4 days with Gigi. She got discharged. And so we're back home and we're going back and forth, spending every waking hour at the NICU. And they were like, but please go home and at least miss a feeding so you can get some sleep because that's the best thing for you.
Yeah.
What I noticed was, though, Colin, was I'll be in the NICU family center, and I'm, like, snacking, and it's 2 a.m. Yeah. I'll be snacking when I get home. Yeah. It's 4 a.m., 6 a.m. Yeah. So that's, I feel like, for guys, especially if there's dudes listening, yes, new dads or dads coming, dads-to-be, that's one of the things that I noticed. I'm like, oh, this is what happens. Yeah. Guys will use this as an escape because I'm like, I'm stressed out. I'm, you know, and I'm prayed up. I'm really talking to God and I'm doing all that, but it's 2 a.m. and I just crushed a sleeve of Oreos. I just crushed it, you know, like an absolute animal.
Yeah.
But that went on for weeks and I'm like, okay, I'm not sleeping well. I'm eating and snacking very unlike me and ding, 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 go figure. I don't feel like me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So get back to what the process and the habits and decisions and rituals that made you you.
Yeah.
Right?
100%.
So I think that's huge. And I think if you're a dad listening, that's big. Don't fall into the trap of like, this is just the lifestyle you have to take on now. Because clearly you woke up at 4, you just said, all right, F it. I'm gonna wake up at 4:15 because I need to get my stuff in.
Yeah.
And that's fire.
Right. 100%.
You said something too, which fired me up and got me super pumped because you're aware at 29, you know, 28, 29 years old, of how much your kids watch you and how much that's going to make an impact. Because they'll hear you, but like, dude, if you are living in a way that's not aligned with that, like, they're gonna say dad's full of crap.
Yeah.
So how important is that to you? Is that a big factor in like why you show up? Is you want them to see you in the Word or waking up early or, you know, stuff like that?
100%. Yeah. No, and I mean, dude, actions, I mean, this is so cliche. Actions speak louder than words, dude. Like, and I think we've learned that too. Like our son's getting to be about 2.5 years old, right? Mm-hmm. So he's like obviously at that age where behavior's becoming a thing that we're having to like work on, right? Yeah. Like he's, you know, he's the classic 2.5 year old. Like
he's you.
Has meltdowns. 2 years old. Dude, yeah, like he's me at 2 years, which I was a savage. So he is
savage.
Too. And probably not the best way sometimes.
But yeah.
No, man, like, dude, he's so fun. But I look at him every day. The dude knows what working out is. He's like, daddy, work out. Like he knows what that means. And then he starts like doing his rendition of a squat. Mm-hmm. And I've got like a little 1 kilogram kettlebell at home.
Yes.
And he'll go grab his kettlebell. So like it's getting imprinted on him, that term imprinting. Like it's getting imprinted in the way his mind processes everything around him. Of, oh, like my mother and my father are making time for themselves. My wife, like she goes to a local gym, Burn, and she takes him with her. So he knows like when they go, he gets to play, but he also sees her out the window working out.
Amazing.
So the dude watches his mother and father do that. And I know my daughter's gonna be the same way.
Yeah.
And so I dude, it obviously like I was motivated before I had kids. And dude, like we're so blessed that we've even had two. Mm-hmm. We're so grateful and like, dude, they're healthy and we couldn't be more grateful for that.
Yeah, praise God.
But now, yeah, it's like now we have, you know, been tasked and given this like this role to be leaders for them.
Ooh.
And to be intentional, you know, be intentional with our time, being intentional with our words and obviously with our bodies. And I think those are like massive things that parents, you know, and dude, parenthood's stressful. Like everyone's got different stressors. If you look at someone's plate, I can guarantee you everyone's plate's going to look different. Everyone's plate's full.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everyone's plate's full.
Yep.
Your plate's full. My plate's full.
Just you got stuff hanging off the edges, dude, actually. It's more than full.
I've got some bacon hanging off the edge, bro.
No. It's dripping. Got mashed potatoes falling off. Yeah.
Some steaks. But 100%. No. Dude, it's just you look at that, and that analogy really applies to everybody. So it's like when I talk to especially like young men who are, you know, maybe they're about to enter into the season of marriage, right? Or parenthood or a new job. It's like every transition you go through has these new challenges that are going to present themselves.
Mm.
And it's going to you know, it's going to demand more of your time, right? So now you have to then turn around and figure out, okay, how do I become more efficient?
Yes.
How do I become more intentional with the minutes that I have in the day? Like, dude, my quiet times in the morning, they used to be like an hour long, bro. Yeah. Now they're like 8 minutes.
Yep. Now they're like three breaths. You're like, okay, that's all I got today.
But, you know, praise God. It's like, we're good. Let's roll, baby. You know, so it's like you got to be more efficient, more effective. And at the end of the day, like that's setting the example for your kids and the people around you.
So good. There's so many things. And my memory is I'm trying to like encapsulate stuff you said and kind of lock it away so we can expand on some stuff. What you were saying about how the stakes are higher, bro. When you're single and when it's just you, it's really like you take full advantage. Obviously, we can always look retrospectively and wish we did things differently. But when you get married and when you become a father or a parent, you understand like, wow, I had a lot of time. I had a lot of free time. And I wish I had that back. And so now it doesn't become like run away from your responsibilities. Yeah. It becomes maximizing on the time you have. And I love that. Josh and I will talk about it. It's not about conserving or protecting your energy as much as it is utilize the energy you do have, even if it's a little bit, and put it into things that give you more of it.
Mm.
So if you have a 10% threshold of energy right now, and it could be 100, the goal is not to conserve that. Dude, what are you conserving? You don't have any energy. The goal is to put that 10% into stuff that actually gives you 5X, 10X.
Yes.
And so that's what
preach.
Physical and spiritual fitness will do for us, right?
Yeah.
And so I freaking love that. Now, how would you, I guess the other question too, because, you know, I geek out about spiritual fitness. You're a Christian.
Yes.
You know, doing life with God is a million times better than trying to do it alone. And I think this is a cool idea because I think there's a lot of guilt out there in religion generally, right? I think there's a big guilt factor that plays a role in people just avoiding spiritual things or God and stuff like that. And what I found, and maybe it's the same for you or different, but what I found was I loved, and I wish I can go back there, those mornings when I could wake up and pray and then spend an hour in the Word and reflect and maybe write down, go outside and listen to the birds and like just be there and be present. That's beautiful. Sometimes we need to do that, and you should.
Yeah.
You know, plan that in. But oftentimes but I found myself realizing that when I wasn't able to do that with a puppy and then with a baby, I was like,
you dove right in, dude.
Yeah. We went from 0 to 100 puppy, then baby. People call bold, us crazy, and we are.
Bold move, bro.
See how it plays out, Cotton. Yes. Was that line? Bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see how it plays out.
Bold move, Cotton.
Yes. But I found myself in, and I'll get to the point. I'm landing the plane now, is I realized, you know, did I really miss the time with God, or did I miss the time with my habit with time with God?
Yeah.
So there's a distinction, because what I've discovered in the past 2 years after having like this 2020, I really did feel like God just opened my eyes to a lot of stuff, is I feel like God would rather converse with us throughout our day than just to spend that hour with him in the morning and then forget about him the rest of the day. No?
Absolutely.
So like I really was in a point where let me try to find time to connect with God and bring him in the rest of my life, as opposed to having an hour with him up front, because now I don't have that. I don't have that luxury.
Yeah.
So I guess speak to that, maybe the importance of, look, if you can't maybe spend an hour, maybe you don't need an hour. Maybe it's more about inviting him in throughout your day and like maybe taking a second to just say a quick prayer. And like, I'm not sure. That's kind of what I've realized.
Yeah, no, I mean, and what you're also like touching on too is like your thought life. It's like when you're just walking through your day, you know, and you're just reactive, you know, you're just like seeing things like, bro, I'll confess this right here.
Confession time.
I've got bad, bad road rage. Like I become another human being.
That's the military.
Dude, my wife's like, what is going on? dude, like, so, but, you know, if I'm fixated on how slow this human being in front of me is driving.
By the way, we're good here. We're going to keep going. So
yeah, you're good. If I'm fixated on like what that person in front of me is doing, right? Like driving slow, whatever. Like I'm going to be in a negative mindset the rest of the day, you know, versus if I'm like on the front end and proactive about the way that I'm thinking, you know, praying and having a conversation with the Lord all day.
Yeah.
I mean, 10 out of 10, you know, it's always, I feel like I always find more gratitude. I always find more time to stop and, I mean, stop and smell the roses, right? Like, look up, like, look at the sky, like, notice the green trees, right? Tell my wife how beautiful she looks. Like, there's all these things that I feel like your perspective on the day just opens. You see people, more people, and, like, you see people's needs. And, like, so I think that when you carry out your day like that, you don't have to have this, like, hour-long, you know, meditation in the morning to be able to do that, you know? Like, like I said earlier, it's like, dude, my quiet times are, like, 8 minutes now. They're really short.
Right.
But I love those times. They're special. They're sacred to me. And then the rest of the day, it's like I just try to talk to God all day. That's it. You know, like, thank you, God, for giving me this parking spot at the front of Publix, right?
It's a big deal. So that's some of the biggest things.
It's like little things like that. I'm just kidding. Park at the back of the parking lot and walk more steps, baby.
Boom. That's my freaking guy, dude.
No, but it's just little things like that. Find that gratitude in the small stuff.
Yeah.
Enjoy those moments with, like, the people around you, whether it's your coworkers, your spouse, your kids. That's where the true wealth is, I think.
Bro, you know, that's so
enjoying
fire.
The day.
So what in such a great point. What was the, like, I guess, shift in your mindset that enables you to do this? Because I feel like that is hard for, I can think back to where God in my spiritual life was very compartmentalized, and that's the religion. It's like, I go to church on Sunday for an hour, and then I don't think about God the rest of my week.
Yeah.
And if you're telling me that gives you life, then... Like, you know what I'm saying? So the way I've experienced more fulfillment and more joy and more passion in my life has been truly asking God to, like, reveal himself more to me. And then experiencing, like you said, beautifully, experiencing him when you find that parking spot or when you notice something. You're like, man, that's beautiful. Like, thank you, God.
Yeah.
And I joke, like, man, thank you, God. Like, it's beautiful just to have that conversation. So for you, was that a shift that happened instantly? Was it gradually?
Yeah. No, yeah. I feel like I was, you know, like, growing up in the church, because I did, and I'm grateful for it, bro. Like, it, honestly, so thankful. But when you enter into adulthood, it's not like you have to do this, like, whole process. Oh, I need to find myself, right? Like, but I do think that there is a process of separating your child from yourself, right? Like, who you were as a kid and becoming an adult.
Yeah.
And especially as a man, it's like, you know, taking that boy and, like, you know, saying, like, all right, like, I'm done with you, right? Like, I'm stepping into manhood. And I think, like, with me, when I was going through that process, part of that spiritually was separating this idea that, you know, the only time I could be close to God was inside this building called the church, right? Like, or when I'm hanging out with my church friends. It's like, no. Like, dude, I found that, like, probably, you know, early to mid-20s, you know, where it was like, I realized the church was not a building. It was, you know, the people that you surround yourself with and, you know, how you're spending your time throughout your day, right?
That's
like,
good.
It's a 7 days a week, you know, 24 hours a day thing that you can live out, and it doesn't need to be this, like, hour and a half of you putting on a face every Sunday, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not bashing Christians. I'm not bashing religion, but it's like, dude, that's not Christianity. Christianity is having a relationship with Jesus, right? And, like, a relationship, I don't know about you, but communication is pretty important, right?
That's so a big one, huh?
Yeah. Dude, ask my wife, right? Like, I'm still working on that.
Yes.
But, it's one of those, I think it's one of those areas of my life that I think early, you know, mid-20s, I just kind of had to realize, like, okay, that's not where I can be close to God. Like, I can do it all day long.
Yeah.
And I think I did that through, like, I used to fast one day a week for, like, 24 hours. That was good. Like, I think it was, like, a good season. I did it for, like, a year straight before I got married to my wife. And, like, it was a cool time because I think it taught me, obviously, like, the whole discipline of fasting, right? The health benefits and all that stuff. But it also taught me, like, what it looks like to have a conversation with God all day.
Because
every time you think about food or whatever, it's like, hey, just talk.
That's
talk with him, right? And so it's like, it's this habitual thing. It's like, you know, someone first starts working out, just go to the gym for, like, 10 minutes.
100%.
Just show up. Just show up. Don't even, like, hey, just go hop in the elliptical 10 minutes and leave.
Boom.
Right? You do that for, you know, 30 days, 60 days in a row.
Yep.
you know, 5-6 days a week, mm-hmm. pretty soon your workouts are 20 minutes long, 30 minutes long, 40 minutes long, right? And then you're almost having to plan recovery days because you're going too hard.
That's right.
So it's like you go through this process of just taking little bites, yeah. and then you eventually grow that into, you know, what is hopefully a life-giving habit, right?
Dude, freaking yeah. love that. And both spiritual and physical examples of that is, key word, you just ended, life-giving.
Yeah.
Like the gym shouldn't be like this, like punishment. You know what I'm saying? Just in the same way that fasting,
yeah,
you know, yeah. and prayer and study and all this stuff, like, shouldn't be punishment. Like, you shouldn't do it because you feel like you need to punish yourself.
No.
Yeah. You actually find there's life on the other side of discipline, right? Yep. There's freedom on the other side of discipline.
It's huge.
And so have you ever read the book, anything like The Celebration of Discipline by Richard Foster, or have you ever heard of Dallas Willard?
I've heard of them. I've never read those books. Yeah. I've read Discipline Equals Freedom.
Oh, Jocko?
Jocko.
Yeah, Jocko's
the man.
Legend.
Yes.
Well, I was going to say he's like very probably similar in the, you know, just with how you were raised, I yeah. feel like his yeah. message is powerful.
Yeah.
But there's some people, Tim Mackey's another one, Bible Project mm-hmm. guy. Mm-hmm. There's some people out in Seattle and Oregon who I'll listen to, pastors and you know, spiritual guys. And they'll talk about, like, in the West especially, we're like, yeah, I'm Christian. And, like, what does that mean? Like, there's a spectrum of that.
Yeah.
And the truth is, not the majority of Christians, they associate themselves as being Christians, but they don't practice the way
yeah.
of Jesus.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, of course, I'm on the journey myself, but it goes to show you, like, how often did Jesus, like, wake up early and go away and get prayer? You know, like, how intentional was he? He fasted, he prayed, like, yeah. he would find solitude, he would be silent, you know? And then he was always living from a place of love. So it's so important to not disregard the habits and the process that got people there.
Yeah.
So it's just like the spiritual and physical disciplines have always really, like, intrigued me, right?
yeah.
Because you don't just show up, you don't just, like, automatically just change into a loving person. Like, yeah. you have to, like, have a there's ways to get there. Like, you don't become a patient person overnight. You practice being patient. And,
yeah.
you know, fasting is obviously a great way to flex the patient muscle.
Yeah.
Can't eat right away.
Absolutely.
So
100%.
That's just been something that I've been intrigued with lately, like the disciplines, the habits that go into it.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
Study and prayer is a big one.
Yeah.
Shifting gears, let's shift. What's a misconception, you think? So you're very, like, active on online.
Yep.
We both have kind of grown too lately.
Yep.
And so more people have discovered us or eyes on us. And so I guess my question is, what's a misconception maybe that you think there is? Like, if someone just pulls you up and they're like, oh, it's Flow Life, Colin. Mm-hmm. Like, what do you think? What would you want people to know about you that you think might be a misconception?
That's good. My whole business, has obviously it was started out as a fitness business, right? When I first, like, changed, you know, everything over and was, like, creating the business and stuff. And yeah. so, but in the meantime, I graduated from PT school, right? So I'm also a physical therapist at the same time. I got my mm-hmm. doctorate in physical therapy mm-hmm. from University of Oklahoma, Boomer.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it was, like, one of those deals where I think, like, when I graduated, like, I announced it and stuff like that. And I put, like, Dr. Colin there, but I think sometimes people are still like, you know, what do you do? Like, what does that look like? Right. And I think that there's a big opportunity right now that we're sitting in where a lot of stuff has gone online and mm-hmm. COVID, honestly, bro, like, obviously it was traumatic. It was tough. Mm-hmm. I mean, lost so many people. Like, my family did, like, it was a tough time.
Mm-hmm.
But with that, I also feel like there was a lot of opportunity and a lot of doors opened,
big
right?
time.
For a lot of growth. And I think that
accelerated
health,
a lot of
dude,
that.
Dude, yeah. And I think with the health industry specifically, physical therapy is 100% included in this. We, you know, have been able to evolve and you know, offer these, you know, services that can hopefully change people's lives online. And so mm-hmm. I think, you know, when they look at my page, I hope people see someone that's trying to put out honest, good information. I am not someone that's going to die on any hill. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm always researching. I'm always looking for new things.
Love that about
you. I'm not scared to go back on something that I said was good mm-hmm. 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because I mean, dude, I'm trying to grow just like you are. I'm trying to learn just like everybody else. Mm. Well, at least I hope everybody else is, right?
Right, right.
And so, like, that's one of those things, too. Like, with the content I put out, like, I'm constantly putting out stuff I'm doing to my own body.
Right.
And so it's not these things that, like, I'm, like, making up in my head. I'm like, oh, that looks fun. Like, no, like, I'm doing these every single day. I'm feeling how this makes me feel. And then I'm, you know, regurgitating that information to my audience.
Yeah.
And so I hope that people see it as an honest feed. I hope that people see it as an informational feed and one that inspires people just to move their bodies more. And I, you know, we talked a little bit about kettlebells. I love kettlebells, you know. Someone asked me the other day, I was like, you know, you don't post any barbell stuff or dumbbell stuff or whatever. And I'm like, yeah, I mess around with that every once in a while. But I just love kettlebells. It's not because I'm, you know, I'm not like anti-dumbbell, anti-barbell or anything. I
better not
love
be. Kick you out of the studio. No, I'm kidding.
he's like, I'm out. No, but I love the way kettlebells make my body feel.
100%.
They reveal a lot about stability and mobility and these different, you know, points where I feel like I need to work on, you know, from a strength perspective. And so that's a lot of what I'm putting out nowadays. Right.
It's fire. Yeah, and you've inspired me truly, like, to see your stuff and how functional it is. Because that's, to your point, when you see your feed, it's very like, oh, this can give me value and it's practical today.
Yeah.
You know, like the mobility one you did, I think you were on the way to Florida. Like, that's dope. Like, if you're sitting all day, like, go to freaking Flow Life and do like a mobility exercise. Yeah. It's so important. So I love that. So you want people to know, like, yeah, it's honest. You're doing stuff that you're doing, and the passion and the style is obviously there. So I love that. What was your company? Did you have a company before Flow Life?
I did. Yeah.
What was it called?
Didn't touch on it. So it actually had Flow Life in the name.
Oh,
it was Flow Life Sports Performance. It was actually, it used to be a foam roller company.
That's right. You mentioned the foam roller.
So that was my first business, dude. If we're talking entrepreneurship, I was 23. Was trying to get in on the Amazon gold rush, right? Yeah. And so I was like, I'm going to make $1 million, you know? So, but yeah, I had this idea as a track and field athlete to package, four items into, three or four items into a foam roller. And basically just kind of have like a 4-in-1 deal, right? And, for it to be a tool that people could use to move better, stay injury-free, right? And so the mission, it's funny because the mission hasn't changed much, but I went from being a physical products brand,
right?
And then 2020 happened, COVID, all that stuff, got pregnant, right? And then changed the name of my business to Flow Life Fitness.
Love it.
And that's where we pivoted to. So now it's a service-based business. But
so good.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
You were built for that. I mean, you were built for the entrepreneur lifestyle too, because I think both you and I have product stuff based in our future. Absolutely.
100%.
Maybe a collaborative effort. Who knows? But entrepreneurship, quick question before we dive into maybe like the most impactful book that you would recommend, because I love that question. I love like reading. Honestly, but what's the number one key to for you being an elite entrepreneur?
Yeah.
What do you think the biggest key is that's made the biggest difference in your life? You know, is it organization? Is it is it waking up early? What is it for you?
Yeah.
The key to successful entrepreneurship could be being resilient.
No, that's a good question. I think that resilience plays a role. Because here's the thing, like when you first start a business, it never goes perfectly planned.
Never.
Like unless you've done it before and you kind of know what to expect, it might go well.
Yeah.
Dude, you run into problems every single day. You're constantly troubleshooting.
Yep.
And you know, you might do something for 2 or 3 months that works great. And then you run into a roadblock, right? And you got to reiterate something. You got to change some back-end systems. You got to change your sales process. Like there's always something you can be improving. And so to me, instead of looking at entrepreneurship as this like fantasy of like a lifestyle thing, dude, look at it as a game. Dude, I'm playing a game every day when I wake up and I evaluate what my business looks like. I'm like, where can we use some work? Where can we make improvements? And, you know, take that into the rest of the day on like how I spend my time, you know, because I'm fulfilling the service right now, right, with what I'm doing as a coach. But I think down the road, once I scale, I'm able to add people to the staff and things like that. You know, my job will then be able to, you know, be more, you know, looking down on the business and kind of saying, okay, what can we do, right? Like kind of be detached from, you know, the business as a whole and being able to say, okay, where can we make improvements? And, you know, continue to make progress going forward. Resilience, and then, dude, it's a game. You know what I mean? Every athlete every athlete I know has lost, has failed, has done poorly at something, has gotten injured. They're, you know, they, no one's had a perfect path to where they are as an athlete.
Yeah.
I grew up as an athlete. I just relate to that the most.
Yeah.
So when you look at the whole process of a game and the emotions that go into it, there's ups, there's downs, there's times when you think you're going to be ahead and then you're back behind. It's like, that's what happens, dude. That's life.
It's part of it.
Wake up and play the game every freaking day. And if you do and you don't quit, you're going to be successful.
That's so freaking spot on, bro. So spot on. Like, failure's feedback. And if you take the approach of it's a game and I'm practicing, you know, getting good at playing this game, like, that's really beautiful. It does free you up to experience failure. I think the hard part, too, is, like, detaching ourselves personally from that failure because our business is part of who we are.
Sure.
So I think that's a interesting idea. But, you know, the less personal you can take anything, I think, is healthy, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's really good. Has there been a book that's made a major impact on you? Are you a big reader outside of the word?
Yeah. No, I look at books as obviously the resources, right? Like, and my wife makes fun of me. Like, I love like reading to learn, you know, and I every once in a while I'll read for pleasure, but for the most part I'm reading to learn.
Right.
Like I want to grow, and that's just, I just like it. Like it's just fun. And that's relaxing to me too.
Right.
The one thing, has been a book that no joke has changed the trajectory of my life.
Summarize the one thing in a couple ideas or phrases.
Dude, basically that whole book is centered around the idea that if you continue to show up and you do the one thing that's the most important thing to move the needle forward in your life. And this, you know, you can have a lot of one things.
Yeah.
Your role as a husband, your role as a father, your role as a business owner, right? Even your health. Like, those are four things. You're probably going to have one thing, though, that you can show up in all four of those roles that is going to help you be better, right?
Yep.
So the one thing today when, you know, I wake up and with my wife, it's like, hey, maybe I tell her she's beautiful, you know, as soon as she wakes up and as many times as I can throughout the day, you know, and then, you know, looking at like my business, it's like, okay, how, like, what's the one thing that's going to help me, you know, show up and be a better coach.
Yeah.
Right. And that's, you know, keeping my clients accountable, right? Messaging them, checking in on them, you know, communicating with them. You know, as a father, it's like, what's the one thing that's going to help my kids thrive and feel loved, right? And then that's me being present with them. So it's like having these like little hats that you look at your life and you evaluate your life and you're like, okay, and dude, you can apply this to finances. Like, so I think that's what that book summarizes. And that's why I love it is because as a coach, it's like you look at what the meaning of that book looks like, and it's like it helps you simplify everything.
Yes.
Down to these really like, hey, I know what I'm supposed to do.
Yep.
You wake up early. You get into the word. You drink some water. Like, it's just like these little
move
things.
Move your body a little bit.
Yeah, like it's like these little things. It's like it doesn't have to be this like massive decision-making process. It's now this really simple, you know, thing where it's like, okay, let's rock and roll.
Yeah.
It also helps me not get entrepreneurial ADHD and want to start 18 businesses today.
Yes.
Because that's me like every day. Like, ooh, that looks like a good idea. So just staying focused, right? And that showing up, being intentional. That's the big premise of that book.
Fire. That was a great summary. And it really is. I agree with you. It's one of the most impactful ideas because it does simplify it. I think also, when you were talking, I couldn't help but think, I heard someone say, like, talking about growing your hair out, and it, you know, people who follow me, they're like, oh, they probably have noticed my hair is getting longer.
The locks, baby.
Dude, it's wild. And it doesn't look as good as your flow, but
dude, I'm trying to get shot. There.
No, please, it is.
Yours looks way more control. Mine's out of control.
Stop it.
Mine's got a little hillbilly in it, too.
Well, it's a good hit. It's a good hillbilly. Boomer. Sooner.
Boomer, baby.
But he mentioned, he was like, I think everyone should grow their hair out. Like, for people who can't, do it at least once.
Yeah.
And he goes, you know why? Because, like, you have to get through these awkward stages. Like, you don't just grow hair and it just happens overnight. It also doesn't happen perfectly. So he's like, it's probably one of the best examples of your physical fitness journey.
Yes.
Because if you can't show up on days you don't want to be there, or on weeks when things are going crazy and the last thing you want to do is prioritize waking up a little bit early, doing the habits, the steps, the water, the movement. if you can't get through the awkward hair stages, you'll never reap the benefits of a long, so like good. Flowing hair. And so it's a really cool idea in my mind. And I really try to preach that to my clients.
Yes.
I say preach. I try to encourage them. Try not to sound like I'm preaching, but truly, like, if there's one skill I think you can raise all, what's the quote? Like a rising tide raises all ships.
Yeah.
Dude, the tide is you just trusting the process and repeating the process, especially when you don't feel like it. So to your point, resiliency and consistency, it's kind of one and the same. And it's probably the best thing for our businesses, our physical fitness, our health, our relationships, is just show up. So it's like, how do we cultivate that? You know, how do we increase that? And part of it's getting in conversations like this. Part of it's hearing, you know, one of the things I love about you, and I got a million things on my list, is truly, like, dude, you're an intentional person. The first time I met you, you did what you were saying here. This man practices what he preaches. You went to your wife and you just, like, it was just something offhand, like, hey, beautiful, what's this? Small stuff like that. Like, you refer to her lovingly, and that says so much about you. So I remember hearing that. I'm like, dude, I had evidence before, but after small things like that, I'm like, dude, I know this guy. Like, I know the type of man he is by the way he treats his wife and the words he uses. So I commend you for being consistently, like, you're practicing what you preach.
Dude, I appreciate that.
And not everyone does that.
Yeah.
You know, to be fair.
Likewise. Same thing to you.
If you ever want to hype up, dude, just come to the studio. I'll freaking hype you up because that's what we do here, baby.
I was like, dude, I'm flattered. No, seriously, I appreciate it. That's it's humbling to hear. And, like, I mean, dude, I hope that. I mean, I love my wife. And, you know, I hope that for everyone that gets to meet us and, you know, that gets to meet her, she's an incredible human being. But, I mean, that's one thing I think it is lost in society these days, dude. Like, be in love with your wife. Yeah. It's cool. Mm-hmm. It's really cool, actually. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know?
Way
cooler. Don't be too prideful. Yeah. Like, don't be too prideful. Like, you know, show up every day and see what you can do for her, you know? If you're married. If you're not, bro, start becoming the man that woman deserves to marry.
Wow.
Straight up.
Yeah.
Best advice. I actually heard that from a preacher.
Craig?
No. It was, dude, it was the guys... They're down in Dallas. I'm blanking on the name of it. Mm-hmm. The Porch.
Oh, yeah.
The Porch, yeah. Dude, they have a great ministry. And I can't remember if it was JP or the other guy preaching. I think it was JP. But he was saying, like, he's like, hey, like, dudes, if you're single, and I heard this while I was single, by the way, like, hey, if you're single right now, like, you know, be in that singleness. You know, obviously, yeah, there's times that it kind of stinks. Like, maybe you want to, you know, you want to get hitched up or whatever. Sure. You know, but if you're not married and you're not dating and, you know, you've got time to spend on yourself, dude, that's the time. Yeah. Invest in yourself. Become the man that the woman that you've dreamt of deserves to marry.
Right.
Right? Because when you set that standard, now it's like your dream girl. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, I'm striving to become the guy that deserves that.
Right? Yeah.
And so, I know it was a tangent.
No, but. No, it's beautiful. And then yes. All of a sudden, you, like, again, you attract that type of person in your life by doing the things that person's looking for.
Amen.
Whereas we're, like, always trying to look for the quick fix.
Yep.
Myself included. I mean, in fact, like, I share my stuff all over sometimes in podcasts for sure, but really heavily, like, dude, when I was single, I was doing stuff like, you know, porn, for instance.
Yeah.
Big in our society because we get exposed to it at such a young age. Yep. Now we have phones and the younger generation probably gets exposed to it earlier.
Brutal.
Struggled with that for years. And I think back, and even like dating Gigi, I wasn't even leading spiritually. Getting married to her, first year of marriage, not the leader I should have been.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm still not technically like I want to be.
Yes.
But praise God, he's actually like broken some chains. You know, he's helped me step out of the dark and into the light and to freedom. And because it's no longer I who live, but Christ in me.
Yeah.
But dude, I think back to me, and I hopefully am encouraging younger guys. That's part of why I share stuff on social. Is like, I've been there. I've been the dude to like watch porn consistently, thinking it's not affecting my life.
Yep.
But it's like, dude, you're missing the opportunity to become the man your future wife needs,
dude.
And those habits, those thoughts, those actions are not giving you life.
Yeah.
They're taking from you. And it's like, dude. That's everything. So if you're in that singleness season and you know, maybe ready and like getting impatient, like, okay, where is she? Truly, that's the best advice I heard is become the man now. Like, you don't wait till like you're gonna get married and that's gonna solve all your problems. Like, get your ducks in a row as best you can now.
Yeah. For amen. Now. Yeah. Dude, amen. Yeah, it's so good. Yeah, and that's, dude, to that point too, same thing.
Double tangent.
Right. Yeah. Like, I mean, you it's.
I was like, am I done?
Dude. Well, it's like, that just applies to so much. I mean, even like, I think even married guys, right? Like you said, like, dude, temptation. And I'm not even talking so much like, yes, like pornography, like lust, all these things that, like, you know, can rip your relationship apart from your spouse. But I'm also talking about like even just temptations with like, dude, like your health, right? It's like, dude, how often do you think I want to snooze the alarm? Everyone's like, dude, you're so good at getting up early. I'm like, dude, I want to snooze my alarm every day when it goes off. I'm tired every day when it like doesn't get easier.
Come on.
I wish it would.
Yeah.
But it doesn't. And so like I mean, there's some days where I pop up and I'm like ready to roll, but that's not most of the time. It's not the reality. I want to go back to bed because I'm tired.
Bro, how could you build resilience if it was just easy every time?
Yeah, exactly.
Like you heard that. Yeah, yeah. You heard that like quote where it's like, I asked God for strength, He gave me battles to fight.
Yes,
it's like that's how it works.
Yeah. Well, and it's like as soon as that's the you know the whole thing with like once you give your life, it's like you think you know give your life to Christ, you think everything's gonna be easy from there, and that's dude, it couldn't be further from the truth.
Right.
You know, in a lot of ways, it might be more challenging. Right. But you fight the good fight. You get up every day. You keep showing up. Like those are the things you can do. Everyone's situation's different, but. I mean, the temptations aspect, it's like, especially as men, it's like, dude, rein it in. I'm not perfect. I know you're not perfect. We're not even going to try and pretend we're perfect. Dude, just freaking show up.
Yeah.
Rein it in. Like, get up and do what you're supposed to do. Bottom line.
That's fire because, to your point, that's a really good contrast because it does speak to the, like, most obvious, like, hey, that's probably not the healthiest thing for you.
Yeah.
But then the way you just brought it back down to earth in a very practical way is like the alarm clock, the snooze button. Like don't be thinking we're all set because we're like, oh, yeah, I'm not like going cheating on my spouse and doing this stuff.
Yes.
But like, dude, don't think you're in the clear because you're just like settling with your physical fitness or settling in different areas of life. So that's really good, man. I love that. Marriage-wise, what do you think you would have told yourself like, as advice, you know, you've been married how many years now?
Almost five. Yeah.
Almost five.
Yeah, four and a half.
So what would you have like wish, like, okay, go back to 24-year-old Colin.
Yeah. 23.
23.
Yeah.
What would you tell him?
Pre-marriage. Yeah.
What would be your premarital counsel to your 23-year-old goodness self? One sec. Sorry.
Dude, that's my, by the way, that's my same, sound when my alarm goes off.
Is it?
Yeah, it is.
Thanks, boss. Appreciate you, bro. Brother. Not sure why I called you boss. I never call anyone boss. Love you, bro.
Besides Gigi, right?
Besides Gigi, she is the boss. All right, so we just got the camera back. Oh, we got my puppy. Oh, yeah, he loves socks, dude. He's a freak.
I saw that.
Love socks.
Chewing on the socks?
I think he's fine. Yeah.
He's
sitting at the
door the whole time.
That's cool.
What's up, bro?
We got Drew at my feet right now. I'll tell you what, man, to your point. Yeah, Colin calls him Drusif. I love that. But yeah, we did go from 0 to 100 with the dog and baby. That was wild for a little bit. Dude. He was harder in some respects.
Yeah, I mean, waking up at night, like, dude. When I saw you guys got a puppy, and obviously I knew your wife was pregnant, I was like, let's go.
Dang.
Like, this dude's
he thinks fatherhood's a walk in the park. I can't wait to see him.
I was like, in my head, I'm like, hey, like, they're just prepping. Like, they're getting ready for their baby girl to get born, like, straight up. So.
Well, we can get into this, but
yeah,
the whole, I mean, God's so good, dude.
Yeah, amen.
God is so good. He's so faithful, and he's good and faithful regardless of circumstance and regardless of how well I show up, and how good I am, you know, and how faithful I am. And thank God, because if it was based on me and my effort, then I really would be discouraged. But because I look to him and bank on his consistency, his perfection, his faithfulness, I'm freed up to then chase consistency in my own life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Knowing I'm not, you know, condemned or judged if I, you know, miss a day or, you know, you have, we're going to make mistakes. So anyway, God's so good. He's so faithful. He's taught me so much, and my wife included, over the course of these past few years. And so this kind of leads back to the question I asked you with the premarital counseling is, you know, I think I think what doesn't get relayed enough in our social media, like landscape and culture, is obviously naturally we want to show the best things possible, the honeymoons and the and the vacations and all that. Even day-to-day stuff, I'm guilty. Like, we don't post any fight, right?
No.
Which it would make sense to, by the way. So don't feel bad that you're not posting your fight to, like, be real. But but the point is, we've gone through stuff that we came out the other side much stronger.
Yeah.
And we walked through some dark stuff and some, like, trying stuff. But it gave us so much, like, strength on the other side. And for both Gigi and I, Drew was... we were praying for healing. You know, we were walking through some stuff and we needed healing, man. Like, I remember praying. My best prayer, I'll go on record for this. It sounds weird to say that, but my best prayer was maybe four words, and it was, "We need you, Jesus." Mm. And that was it, bro. And I was freaking bawling my eyes out because I was like, we need you. We need healing. And next thing you know, we get a dog. And that sounds funny, but he was a part of that healing process, man.
Yeah.
And so, he was a part of that process. It allowed her to step into that motherhood type of role. And then when baby was born, when Gianna was born, then she was already like ahead of the game. And it changed both of us.
Yeah.
And so I think that's how God works. Like, he can change things instantly, but he also can, like, use other people and things in your life. So it's a long-winded way to just say he's so good. And oftentimes people don't talk about the dark seasons you can potentially walk through as a married couple. But if you can understand, like, and make God that third, the triangle, right? It's you, your spouse, and God at the top. And the closer y'all grow to God is the closer you grow to each other.
Mm-hmm.
If that's the case, dude, you can weather any storm, bro. You'll make it through whatever life throws your way, because with God, all things are possible, right? So in light of that, dude, like, what would you tell your 23-year-old self, like, preparing for marriage? Maybe, like, something you'd want him to know looking back.
Mm. It's not a competition. Not a competition. And what I mean by that is, like, I mean, it's funny because my dad actually told me that before I got married to my wife. So I did get that piece of advice.
Interesting.
Dude, it's like that. And I say that, like, it can apply to every scenario you go through, right? In I feel like it kind of, like, reverts back to the whole idea of ownership, right? Mm. Like, being able, especially as, like, a male, like, a prideful dude who's got an ego, like, and my wife, same thing. She's got pride. She's got an ego. Dude, like, when you're walking through life together and, you know, little things come up, dude, don't let those turn into big issues. Mm. It's not a competition.
Well,
admit when you're wrong. Like, in most of the time, in every situation, you probably could have done something to prevent maybe offending your wife, making her feel unloved. Like, Love and Respect was one of the best books that we both read before we got married. Mm. And that whole cycle of, like, you know, making sure she feels loved, and her, you know, and the other side of that, making me feel respected, right? Mm. And obviously, I want to feel loved and all that stuff, and she want to feel respected as well. But it's like, at the end of the day, I feel like a lot of times men and women, like, as creatures, crave those two things. Women crave love, men crave respect.
Yeah.
And not in an egotistical way either. That's just kind of how we're wired.
It's what we need, too. You know?
And so I think, like, when you look at that whole design, when I'm not making her feel loved, maybe she's, like, you know, not really wanting to show me all the respect in the world, right? Like, and so it's this.
But the way we see it is, like, she's not showing me respect, so, like, therefore I'm not gonna, like, love her as I should. But it goes back to the root where it's like, if you want something, you gotta give something.
keep showing up.
Yeah.
Keep showing up and give when you don't feel like it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you know, don't treat relationships like a competition. And lay down your pride at the door. Mm. Like, our big saying, like, that we've had since we were engaged, was always be willing to come to the table. And the table is a metaphor for the fact that, like, always be willing to come, sit down, and have a conversation.
Yeah.
The silent treatment does not work.
Yeah.
I can promise you, you're just burying stuff that's going to come up later. You're going to get bitter. Like, the silent treatment does not work. And you guys yelling at each other, like, that doesn't fix it either.
Mm.
Come to the table and just talk to each other, you know?
So
I feel like those are, like, the big, like, pillars of our marriage, right? Like, don't treat it like a competition. You're on the same team.
Yeah.
gets even more so when you get kids, right? Yeah. Like that whole new responsibility of like, oh, we like these things, like they have our genetics, like we share, like we're supposed to keep them alive.
Yeah.
You know, like my wife's breastfeeding, I'm over here like, okay, like how do I help, you know, like changing diapers.
That's a strange
stuff.
Place to be.
Yeah, it's like you look at ways, it's like our roles are different, fundamentally different with raising children, for instance. That's just a good like example.
Sure.
And it could be so easy for me to be like, oh, I've changed every diaper today and like this and that. But my wife's over there, dude, she's freaking keeping that human being alive. Mm-hmm. She's the one that carried it around for 9 months.
Right.
I didn't have to do anything during those 9 months. You know what I mean? So it's like, just lay the pride down, dude. Mm-hmm. You're on the same team, work together. Like there's going to be times in your life with a spouse, with a partner, whatever, where you might have to give more than them.
Mm-hmm.
Be okay with that.
Right.
Show up for that.
Don't keep tabs.
Yeah. Like show up for those moments and look for them. Look for those moments where you can show up and you can help that other person, maybe through a time when they're struggling, right? Mm. Because when you need it, they're going to do the same for you.
100%.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And it's not this transactional thing. It's just, dude, that's what marriage is.
Mm.
And that's how you go about treating it like you're one under the Lord and you know, pushing each other closer to Jesus every day.
Yeah, bro.
So,
so dope.
Long answer.
No, dude, if you're spitting fire like that, just go on forever. That's what's cool about Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus is like, he comes to the earth and he goes, you know, if someone makes you go a mile, like go 2 miles with them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And like at first I didn't really understand what that meant, but after reading this Genius of Jesus book by Erwin McManus, shout out to pastor out there in Hollywood, genius himself. One of my favorite lines actually, side note, is that there's genius in all of us. Because we're all made by the divine, right? We're made by God. We have a touch of genius in us because we're here. But he goes, like, Jesus was so fundamentally, like, upside down to the world, right? The kingdom of God is upside down to the world's kingdom. It is.
Yeah.
Like the golden rule is not what the world or culture would just create. It's every man for himself. Dog-eat-dog-eat world. Like, that's the world's system. But anyway, Christ comes in. He goes, if someone makes you go a mile, go with them too. And what he did there, and I didn't catch it until this chapter, was it wasn't just like to do it, but it's to take back the power of your own life and say, instead of like being grudgingly like go with them a mile, it's like, no, you actually get more joy and you'll live a life that's abundant when you go, okay, this man wants to force me to go a mile. I'll go with you too. And like, I'll carry your other thing too. And let's talk about life. Let's do. And so you're like, then the person's like, what in the world? Like, it used to be a treatment. And I think I'm going to get clearer thoughts here. But it would be the Romans in this scenario. He explained it. The Romans would force, let's say, a Jew to carry their horse or something like that, something along the route.
Right.
So that's what the whole thing was. Like, if someone forced you to go a mile, go with them too. So instead of being this like punishment for the Jews, it would be like taking back the power, like the autonomy of their life and being able to be salt and light to other people.
Yeah.
So it was just like this cool idea. And I'm like, I love that. So to your point, go with someone the extra mile. You're on the same team. And I think the more we understand, I hope you get this vibe too with the studio setup and Josh and I, we are all on the same team.
Mm-hmm.
So when there's competition, it's really just false competition.
Yeah.
If there's seeming competition out there, like when you win, for instance, I don't get any type of jealousy. I'm like, dude, Colin, like for instance, we're in the same space. You have clients, I have clients. When you have business success, I'm like, let's go, praise God. Because your message is getting out there and you're impacting more lives. I'm like, that's a win for me too.
Yeah.
So competition is really just a veil, I think. And the more we can understand we are connected and people's wins are our wins and people's losses are really our losses too. And we're not disconnected from the world around us. We're actually so embedded together. It's pretty mind-blowing. Mm-hmm. So I love that. We're not in the same, we're not on different teams. We're actually on the same team with marriage.
Amen.
And that's a big one. So the ego death, like you got to die to yourself, man.
Yeah.
And that's hard, bro.
Yeah.
I struggle with every day. Almost every day.
Yeah.
No, I might've had one perfect. Nope. I was gonna say one perfect day. Nope.
You can get yourself to think that, right?
Yeah. It's wild, man. And that's, again, the upside down nature of God and his style.
Yeah.
His signature is always like blow your mind because life happens through death. Yeah. Like, look to the cross, right?
Yeah.
The worst thing possible, produce the best possible outcome.
Crazy.
Like, what?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Anyway, that's just so good. So I think I love that marital advice. What's a question, Colin, that I haven't asked yet that you wish I would have?
Ooh.
You know?
Hmm.
Question that you wish I would have asked.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
That's a good question.
I'm saving my butt because I'm like, well, dang, like you're going to walk away and say, I wish we would have talked about this.
Yeah. No, that's good. So, I mean, dude, you covered so much, you know? I mean, I feel like I haven't shared a lot about myself really publicly, you know? Like, I haven't shared a lot of my story, and I think podcasts, like, I want to do more. You know, I do want to do more. Now that I feel like I've had my head in the trenches building a business and things like that and becoming a dad and all that stuff, I am ready to start talking about stuff more. And
can I pause you and just say, dude, you're freaking made for it. Like, I can't wait to see you step more into sharing. Like, you're a natural. World needs to hear what you have to offer. Like, you were created for a reason. And so continue stepping into that. I freaking love seeing it.
Dude, thank you. No, I appreciate that.
All the more reason you should move to Florida.
Hey, I mean, we could do this all the time. Just grab some coffee and roll. No, yeah. But, I mean, you know, back to what you asked, like, honestly, we talked about so much. Like, you know, I'm sure I'll get to share at some point, you know, just little things about how I was raised and, you know, just the lessons that I've come across. But I mean, the big takeaway is always, like, I don't have it figured out. And, I think it's easy to think that when you see, like, you know, two guys, social media followings, whatever, it's like, dude, we're just every day. Like, I've watched you, like, hanging out with your wife, Gigi, and your daughter, and it's just like, and obviously Drew, can't forget Drew. But it's like, dude, we're men. We're trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
We're trying to lead well. We're trying to serve well. We're trying to love well. And we're trying to, like, take advantage of every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like, at the end of the day, like, that's where I'm at in life, you know, and I want to build a better business. I want to be a better husband. A better friend and son and father. And, you know, I'm trying to do that every day. And I think that, you know, no one's journey is going to be a straight line. Mm-hmm. And I know mine sure has not been.
Yeah.
But looking back on it, getting to talk and reflect on it, like, through this type of medium is so cool, because I think you get to dive into that, like, stuff that you really haven't thought about before.
Mm-hmm.
So this has been cool. This has been life-giving for me.
Dude,
I've enjoyed it. Like, just what a cool platform that you've already built with this, getting to share this with that you're following. It's
Bro,
awesome.
And it's all God, as you know. It's all God. It's been a journey. I think whenever you put yourself out there, I've talked about this with Josh a lot, the podcast, for instance, it's a journey. It's such a beautiful journey to go on, because you're learning about yourself and you're also just growing inherently, meaning I first hit record and so nervous. And, you know, nerves happen. Excitement happens. I'm very careful to use certain words because I'm never nervous. I'm just excited.
Yes.
Right? Because they're very similar. And it's like, if you tell yourself that, yeah, boom. But I remember recording my first podcast, Colin, and I was like, dude, in post-production, I would clip it. I would edit it. I would take away the ums, the ahs, the pauses, the awkward stuff. And because I'm a perfectionist.
Yeah.
And I want to show people, I'm mindful of what people perceive, right?
Mm.
Early on, that was a lot, and it took so much energy. So eventually, a couple of episodes come out, and you start, you know, being more consistent. And then I'm like, dude, why am I doing this? Like, I'd rather kind of just be real. And then I found myself more me, because I said, well, screw it. I'm not going to be perfect, so let me just be me and be okay with that.
Yeah, yeah.
So I allowed myself to step into more freedom and say, well, look, I'm going to mess up words. I'm going to say the wrong thing. And it's not going to be perfect, but it's going to be me. And boom, that opens the door to you becoming more you. And that's what I'm all about. I always tell people, it's like, I'm not going to be you. You're not going to be me.
Yeah.
And like, we're not called to do that.
Yeah.
Like, that's a disservice to God for creating you the way he created you if you're trying to be someone else, right? So becoming more you is the goal, the man he created you to be. Right, so it's not about just like becoming selfishly who you want to be, but who God puts you on earth to be.
Yeah,
that's who you need to become more of. And the podcast journey, what you do on social media, what we do is try to get ourselves out there a little bit more, put ourselves out there, and it's all value based, hopefully.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful because you learn a lot about yourself on the journey. So I think I don't know. I'm just spitballing now, but if you're getting a tug to create content or create a podcast or have conversations, the best thing I did was just put myself out there. Yeah. Honestly, that was really the key domino for me that really opened the world.
Yeah.
In a different way. So,
dude, amen.
We need to have more too of these conversations, whether you're here locally or elsewhere, because I feel like we have a lot more to talk about.
We do. Truly. Yeah, dude. And I think, I mean, these conversations, you know, everything on Instagram, social media, it's all filtered, right? These are totally unfiltered.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
Just like raw conversations. And I think that's what's cool about podcasts. I had someone ask me the other day, like, what, like, where'd you learn all this business stuff or how to set this up or that up? Podcast.
Yeah. Hormozy.
Honestly. Yeah. Yeah. Alex Hormozy, bro. Dude's a savage. Just consuming, right? Like, mm-hmm. I love listening to things. I'll sit down and read, but mm-hmm. I don't sit still very well.
I know.
So I'm a big audiobook podcast mm-hmm. guy. And like, I just, every time I have a spare moment, which maybe not often, but it's like every time I do, it's like early in the morning, you know, late at night when I'm cooking dinner, it's like, that's, just
I know you're
on,
the same
bro.
Way as me. You'll put your headphones in your phone and do the dishes or something like that.
Oh,
I've done that many times.
Yes.
Water the plants. Yes. Same thing, bro. It's crazy.
Every time you get a moment. But it all goes back to just, like you said, putting yourself out there. Mm-hmm. You know, I think learning is hard for people. It's like they don't know where to start. It's like just start consuming. Mm-hmm. Start consuming stuff. Like mm-hmm. look up like who's the best in the area you want to become good in, you know?
Right.
Accounting.
Right.
You know, becoming a pilot. It's like, dude, there's people who put out stuff all day, every day. Mm-hmm. We put out fitness stuff. You know, you put out a lot of like awesome like leadership, spiritual stuff. Like I put obviously some more like mobility and physical mm-hmm. therapy stuff. Like everyone's got their little thing. Like mm-hmm. just go follow people, mm-hmm. consume their stuff, like support them. And that's the best way to learn.
Yeah.
So.
Love that. And you create too though. So you consume and create because you're a journal guy. Yeah. You create content, but you also do a good job of not just consume, but you're also writing. You're thinking and creating, which I love.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of people can get stuck into the consuming all day.
All day.
And like that, it's weird because you consume all day and then you feel depleted.
Yeah.
But it's not the depleted from a fast of lack of food, but it's more depleted from after Thanksgiving dinner. And you're like, holy cow, I can't move. Dude. You know what I'm saying? So you're overconsumed.
It's ridiculous. And I don't know how you feel about like being creative. I get energized by it. Mm. I might have gotten 4 hours of sleep last night. If I get into a workflow and I'm being creative and like, I'm a big coffee guy, like drinking coffee. So like if I'm, you know, drinking coffee, like dude, that those moments, I'm like the most energized, the mm-hmm. most alive, you know? And I think it's fun because like you said, too many people consume too much. Mm-hmm. I was telling you and Josh this earlier, like my wife and I, one of the best things we've done is put a time limit on our phones for social media, right? It's like, and she has the passcode. Well, she did. I just now got it from her.
Uh-oh. Carissa.
Yeah. So, but we set our limits like an hour, right? And that was across all the platforms. And for those of you who don't know, like I'm also, that includes responding to DMs, responding business. To comments, business stuff, like creating the content sometimes. And that's actually why I got the codes, because it was taking me a minute to produce stuff, right? But regardless, all that to say, just set limitations and boundaries, mm-hmm. you know? Especially first thing in the morning, don't freaking start scrolling. Like, you know, leave your phone in the bathroom and then just leave it there. Turn the alarm off, leave it there, and go do your morning stuff before you ever go pick it up. Because I feel like if you start like that, instead of starting with what other people are telling you about their lives, right? It's like, then you can get rolling on the right foot. So
that's fire. I was going to ask you how you stay spiritually fit. And we've talked about that. So, but that's a good point because what I feel like, and I've heard it from somewhere and it makes sense. Naturally, I'm like, that does make sense. And I agree, but they've done studies where the first thing you set your attention to, your mind on, your focus on through your eyes and your senses in the morning and at night play the biggest role in shaping who you mm-hmm. are. And I'm like, yo, I mean, that's so freaking good. And how many days I've wasted on just random stuff, obviously sometimes very unhealthy stuff, but it's like how much time I've let the world tell me who I am versus waking up and boom, God's promise.
Yeah.
Boom, God's promise. This is who you are.
Yeah.
This is whose you are. You know, created on purpose, for a purpose, greatness within you, and created in God's image. Like he's going to use all things together for your good, like all those promises.
Yeah.
It's a lot different than waking up and reacting to something like on social media or the news. And it's like, oh, well, that my political party, who I don't like, did this again. And it's like, bro, you're going to wake up and start your energetic day like that?
No, you're not.
So
get off of the phone, bro. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying that to myself too. So
trust two me, hands
like,
raised.
Yeah. Like,
cause I'll fall into that temptation too. Dude, trust me. But
yeah. couldn't hit the nail on the head better, because even before going to bed, like I leave my phone in the bathroom, so like I have to get out of bed to turn it off in the morning. But like, dude, my wife laughs at me. I'll lay on the floor with my feet up on the wall and just breathe. Do you do it too?
I've done that. I've done weirder stuff, honestly, bro. Trust me.
It's the most relaxed. If you have trouble falling asleep, yeah. Which I don't ever anymore, I hit the pillow and I'm out.
Yeah.
But like, and I think my honestly part of it's probably that though, because I have this like my brain associates certain things leading up to bedtime with like, oh, we're about to go to bed.
Sure.
Like, so dude, get that routine in place. Doesn't take long.
Everything, dude. That evening ritual is huge.
Yeah.
Last question, Colin. Hit me. What's the meaning of life? No, I'm kidding. I read a book. I read a page in a book yesterday or 2 days ago, and it was talking about having confidence for the tomorrows, or having confidence in tomorrow. And the quote was, "Faith is the ability to look to the future with hope instead of with fear." Mm. So, my question is like, what are you looking forward to? Like, I think it's a great way to end the conversation. What are you hopeful? Like, what gets you excited as you look to the future?
I get excited because, you know, when I look at like, I look at my wife and I's life and like, obviously so grateful. Just we've got, I mean, everything we could have ever asked for, honestly, like we're so blessed. Doesn't mean it hasn't been hard at different times, but we've been super blessed. But when I think about the next day or the next month or the next year, like where I'm going to be a year from now, what I think about is where was I a year ago?
Yeah.
Where am I today?
Right.
Right. And obviously, if you've digressed in the last year, that might not be the best way to look at it. But
true.
I just think about how much I have learned in 365 days, right? How much so better true. I've gotten at all those hats I mentioned earlier with the one thing, like how much better I've gotten at those things, like, you know, financially, like with the business, like how much of a better coach I am, how much better husband and father I am. And not to beat my chest, it's just like I am working on those every day.
Yeah.
But remind yourself, like a year ago from today, like you were a different person, right? And you've grown so much. So think about that when you're thinking about tomorrow. And think about that, how that tomorrow and what you do tomorrow is going to set you up for a year from now.
Yeah.
I'm 28, about to be 29. When I'm 29 next year in May, bro, we're going to have a conversation. Be like, yeah, dude. It's crazy.
Yep.
Like, look how much has happened in the last year.
Right.
You know? You don't have to sit around and wait to retire for life to get good.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, your life can change so quickly from so many different angles when you decide to get up and put yourself out there in the morning and stick to the things that you know you are supposed to be doing that are going to move the needle forward in each of those little categories I mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
And so sit down and have that talk with yourself.
Yeah.
Because that's what gets me excited. And I'm like super optimistic. Like I tell my wife like all these dreams and she's, dude, God bless her. She's so awesome. She's like, okay. Like she's so sweet. You know,
that was actually a good impression.
Yeah, dude. It's like and I'm so grateful for her because she's never snuffed my lamp out. Like my light. Like she's let my light shine.
Yeah.
In terms of just like the metaphor of just me having these big dreams.
Yeah.
Having these big dreams for my family and like what kind of life we're gonna have and like all, you know, I'm always thinking about that stuff. Mm-hmm. Especially now we got kids. It's like I just dream up of that life. And
timer's on
baby. So anyway, it's just it's a beautiful thing whenever you look at it that way. And I think my wife's done a great job at not like, you know, suppressing that for me. And even as bizarre as things sound sometimes, she's like, dude, she's never goes, dude, you're full of BS, right? Like she's like all right, okay,
I'm in.
You've said it before and it happened.
Yep.
Dude, let's roll.
God bless our wives, man. They are beautiful. They are beautiful humans.
Ugh.
I honestly love that answer. So I'm fired up. It sounds like, to summarize that, you're excited about growing and becoming more of the man you were created to be.
Playing the game, dude.
And playing the freaking game.
Play the game.
That's amazing. Come
on. Let's go.
Bro, I so enjoyed this, man. We got to have you back on. Where can people find you?
Yeah, so at Flow Life, FLOLYFE, that's literally my handle on everything. So if you guys go to any social media and then flowlife.com, that's where you guys can learn more.
Super good, dude. Well, man, again, God bless you, bro. You're a stud, and thanks for jumping on the pod. If you love this episode, please share it with a friend or rate the podcast. DM me, DM Colin, if you were impacted by it. We'd love to hear from you. With that being said, man, get and stay fit for life, physically, mentally, spiritually. Get 1% better. All the taglines I usually say, but I love you truly, and I hope you have a great day. Till next time.
Let's go.
Yeah, buddy, dude.